Okay, Perek Chava begins. Vayichu kol am Yehuda es Uziyahu v'hu ben sheish es reishon vayilichu so tachas of Amatzio. Amatzio dies. Amatzio was sick the last 15. Was sick the last 15 years of his life. He fled to Lachish. There was a conspiracy against him, and he was killed by the conspirators we mentioned yesterday. That some said these were the children of the people who he did not kill in the beginning of Perek Chav Hei. They eventually went and they killed him for killing their father. So now his Amatzio dies and Uziyahu takes the throne. Some learn that he was already acting as king for the last 15 years. It's very difficult because if he was only 16 years old, how could he possibly? He was only then at one years old, so maybe it was a combination between him and his mother. Hubana, what was his major accomplishment? Pasuk Parbei says, Hubana es Elos. He was the one who rebuilt Elos. Elos is part of Edom. It's a city in Edom. Elos, and not to be confused with Elat. This is not Elat. This is a different place altogether. Elos. He restored it to Yehuda after his father died. Now Rashi gives, let's right away look at the Rashi. On this Pasuk, Rashi explains what this means. No, there is no Rashi here. There is no Rashi. The Mitzudos. Look at the Mitzudos explains. Let's go right away. Jump down. The Mitzudos. Subon eselo. Sibol elos. Vayeshvichol Yehuda. Ki Shlomo kivsha me edoim. And we have to know the story of Elos. Elos went back and forth. Originally, Elos is not part of Eretz Yisrael. It's part of Edom. And Shlomo conquered it. So seemingly he conquered that they should pay tribute. They should pledge loyalty. They should not make trouble. It was conquered by Shlomo me Edom. Kimashikosav osala Shlomo. It says in Perik Ches, in Hulu, the El Elos. He went out to conquer different nations. Uvnei Edom ha'chazhuv lachu esom Yehuda. And then at some point in time, there was some, when Klai Yisrael sinned, there were different kufis. I don't remember all the different periods. There were different kufis where Klai Yisrael sinned. And it was returned. Edom took control. They rebelled against Yehuda. And they took back authority. Uvnei Edom ha'chazhuv lachu esom Yehuda. That was during the time of Oz Posha. I don't remember exactly. There was a tkufa where Klai Yisrael, they sinned, where they did Avodah Zarah, and as a punishment for doing Avodah Zarah, Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed people of Edom to rebel. No longer were they submissive to Yehuda. Now, what happened in the lifetime of his father? That was one of his father's major accomplishments. That's what we learned yesterday, that's why he was arrogant. He wanted to go to war against Yeush, the king of Yisrael, because he was so successful in his war against Edom. What did he accomplish in Edom? He took back Elos. So now it was in their possession. However, just because it was in their possession, it was not fortified. Part of the process of conquering was to breach the walls, to destroy the walls, to conquer them. Now, after his father died, Amatziyahu, Uziyahu, his son, rebuilt the walls, fortified the city under his authority. Uziyahu bones chemosot's walls, lios ir mitzar, uvezeh. And by rebuilding the walls, Hashiva Yehuda, it was considered to be once again the pride of Yehuda, ki ba'oid the perutza, while there was a breach in the walls, ein leschazik ba, ulachazika b'shalohem, while there were breach in the walls, and you no longer have authority to say it's our city. If it's your city, you have responsibility to protect it, to show that it's yours. And that was only took place in the lifetime of his son Uziyahu. So this is this major accomplishment that he's given credit to right away in Pasuk Beis. That's the major credit of Uziyahu. Pasuk Beis, when we move on, it says, Elos, v'yeshivech, return to Yehuda, achadei shechaf melech im avayisav, after his father died. Pasuk Gimel. How old was he? Ben sheish esh reshana Uziyahu v'molcho. He was 16 years old. V'chamish mushtayim shana molach v'yushlaim. It's a pretty long time, kings in ancient times. He was king for 52 years in Yushalayim. V'shem imo yechol yah. Min Yecholia min Yerushalayim, from Yerushalayim. So his mother obviously had great influence upon him. That's why his mother's name is mentioned. And perhaps she was a ruler. She was the husband. She was the wife of Amatziyahu. And it could very well be the last 15 years of his life when he was sick and he fled to Lachish because of the conspiracy. He wasn't sick. I'm sorry. Because of the conspiracy, he fled to Lachish. She was in charge. Pasuk Dalet. Vayas Hayosha b'yenei Hashem. Kechol asher otza Amatziyahu aviv. He did did good. Now, it does not mean like his father, it means he did like the good of his father. His father, Amatzio, was not so good. His father, Amatzio, was pretty bad, in fact. He went and he worshipped the idols of Edom. When he went to war against Edom and he saw their idols, he was swayed after them. He brought them back home and he did some terrible things. He was arrogant. He went to war against the people of Yisrael. He brutally killed 10,000 people, Shaloi Kedin, from Edom. So he was not all good. So when the pasuk here says that he was went biyashar bechol hashasa matziyov, it means that he did like the good of his father. He was smart, learned from the good, and to reject the bad. Pasuk hey, vayehi lidrosh elokim. He was a seeker of God. Bimei during the days of Zechariyahu. Who is Zechariyahu? Now this is not the Zechariyahu ben Yehoyada. He was long dead. This refers to. The Uzi, the Kohen Gadol, who had many names. Rashi, look right in Rashi, Pasuk Hey, Ze Uziyahu. Okay, that was the Kohen Gadol at the time and has time. His name was Uziyahu. He had three names, and one of his names was Zechariyahu. Now here's a very interesting pasuk. Who was Zechariyahu? Hamevin Biros Elokim. He was a person who understood visions. He understood. He feared Hashem. We're going to see Rashi in a few moments. He was a Yorei Shemaim. He understood. He understood that in the visions, through the visions, it's good to fear Hashem. He was a Yorei Shemayim. We get some very nice titles for Zechariyahu. Habeim Beros Lokim Vimei Uvimei. And during his day, Darsho Es Hashem. And during his day, he sought out Hashem. Hitzlicho Hoelokim. Hashem caused him to be successful.
The kind of was also called the Zio.
Yes, the Kohen Gadol, three names. Look, three Rashi right away. Pasuk
right.
Hey.
So one of the names is the same name like the king's name.
The king's name was Uziyahu.
And the Navi, Zechariyahu, was also Uziyahu.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Correct. Zeuziyahu Gimel Shemos Bimei. Yeah, that's right. Right. And that's why maybe we changed his name, not to confuse them, because they had the same name. That's right. They had the same name. So yeah, that's correct. Gimel Shemos Nikolo Zio Zechariyahu and Uziyahu. Uzio. That's right. So he had three names. Yeah. Okay. Guess so. No, this is a different person. This is a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had the same name as the king. The king's name was Uziyahu. And here we're calling that he did Yashu, Vayasa Yashu b'nei Hashem, k'chol Hashem s'vaviv, v'hi l'shlokim b'mei, Zechariyahu Hameivin. Zechariyahu is another name of the Kohen Gadol, which he happens to have another name, which was the same name as the king himself. His name was Uziyahu, correct. That's what it seems to be. We'll see later on. Later on, that's the big story with the king. The king, he wanted to offer Ketores. Keteris Azariah, look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Yud Zayin Vayavo Acharav Azariyahu HaKohen. Azariyahu was the Kohen Gadol, and he came to protest that the king is not allowed to offer Keteris. Uziyahu, who was the king, got a little carried away.
But that's Azariah,
but that's what Rashi says. He has three names. Look at Rashi. Azariyahu, he has three names.
Rashi says, unless there's a mistake in the print there. In Pasuk Hey, it says Uziyahu.
Ze Uziyahu. The Gimel, Shemos.
Yeah, Azariah. That's
the third name. That's the third name. The Gimel, Shemos, Nikrulo. Uziyahu, Zechariyahu, Azariyahu. You have that Rashi?
Yeah.
Azariyahu. So Azariyahu is what appears in Pasuk Yud Zayin.
Okay,
so the Kohen Gadol's name is called here in these Pesukim, two names. Azariyahu in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Here he's called Zechariyahu. And he's also called Uziyahu. However, Uziyahu is a funny name because it gets us very confused. That's the same name as the king. The way we are referring to the king, the son of Achaziyahu, his name was Uziyahu, so it gets confusing. Just like the kings of Yehud and the kings of Yisrael have the same name, Yoash, not the same generation, but they're all very, they get confused. They recycle the names very often, and that leads to confusion. So we have.
In Pasuk Hey, you can interpret that.
No, it would seem because Rashi makes it very clear that it's referring to the Kohen Gadol.
He just says somebody has three names. It doesn't say
Yeah, but it's in clear in Pasuk Yud Zayin, there's another person. Pasuk Yud Zayin is clear person.
I agree.
So then we take that Pasuk Yud Zayin, we plug it into here, it appears that it's referring to the Kohen Gadol.
What you're saying is, if you have two people with the same name, how do you know you didn't have three people with the same name?
How do you know those two people aren't the same person?
Right.
Okay, let's assume for the moment now that there are different people. There was a Kohen Gadol whose name was Azaryahu in Pasuk Yitzan, who is the same as the person he mentioned here as Zichariahu, and he also was referred to at some point in time under the name of Uziyahu, which is a bit confusing because the king's name is Uziyahu. But don't worry, the king's name also changes a little bit. His name also is Uziyah, from Uziyahu to Uziyah. I don't think we have the Kohen Gadol called Uziyah. We only have the Kohen Gadol called Uziyahu, but the king, I think, primarily is called Uziyah. Okay, we'll see. Let's take one thing at a time. But Pasuk Hey does tell us that he was good, he was Dorish Elokim during the days of the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol was known for his insight into the visions of Hashem, and during his days the king sought out, as long as this Kohen Gadol was loved, he would seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hitzlicho Hu Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused him to be successful in all of his endeavors. Pasuk Vav, so we'll come back to the Rashi's and the Mesutas. Pasuk Vav, Vayetze Vayilcham Baplishim. So one of the first things after he rebuilt the city, of Elos, he waged war. Now all of a sudden we're coming to the Plishtim. The Plishtim we have not really had much contact with in the last couple of parakim. The Plishtim is really a thing that David dealt with. Kibush Sha'aretz. The Plishtim was always part of the thorn in the side of Klal Yisrael during the first 440 years. Once we get to Shlomo HaMelech, we really don't find that much about the Plishtim. The Plishtim, according to some opinions, is extinct. They were completely obliterated. There are no more Plishtim. Palestinians and all the Arabs today are not descendants, according to most of the...
Everyone. According to everyone.
Everyone.
No one thinks they're descendants.
No one thinks that Bizman Hazeh, there are any living descendants, any real descendants of the Plishtim. I mean, they call themselves the Philistines, which is the Plishtim, but they're not, nothing to do with zero zilch. They have really good studies to show they're just Arabs. They live there on the land. But there is no Zivzah. So the question is, what happened to them? Because we thought simply they were completely wiped out during the time of David, and yet every so often, I think it's the second time they reappear. And when they do reappear, that's always a hashgacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling. It's telling of taking us back to earlier times, that you think your only problems are the Umos HaOlam. You have problems in the land itself. When Klal Yisrael is affected by the Plishtim in Eretz Yisrael itself, it's as if Hashem is telling you that the land itself doesn't want you here. When the Umos HaOlam are bothering us from the outside, that's a different type of message. That means that you're not fulfilling your role as being an Or LaAmen. When there's an affliction in the land itself, that means that you are not deserving to live in the land because there are bigger problems. But here it says, he fought the Plishtim, Vayifrot, Seschema, Skas. These cities were still in existence. There's the wall of Gas. Gas was the capital of the Plishtim. At least it was during the time of David. This was the city of the Plishtim. Vayeschema, Yavne, Vayeschema, Ashdod, Vayivne, Odim, Ba'ashdod, and he built new cities in Ba'ashdod, Uva, Plishtim, and among the Plishtim cities. Vaya Azreu Elokim al Plishtim,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It just refers to the territory that
was Plishtim. Plishtim is near different, there were different areas. There was this general area of the Plishtim, and then there was a city, a capital, they said there was a capital called Plishtim itself. Okay, but the general area of Ashur of Plishtim, he went and he built cities in this territory. Vaya Azreu Elokim al Plishtim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him assistance upon the Plishtim, Vial Ho'arvim, Ho'arvim. Okay, upon the Arvim, these are, I guess, some type of Arabs, descendants, seemingly Yishmael. Descendants of Yishmael. Some say not. Some say it's a different nation called Aravi, not necessarily related to Yishmael. Different opinions. Hayoshim Begur, Begur Baal, that's the name of a place. Veha Mu'unim, and Mu'unim is also Ammon. Some say that Mu'unim is the same as Ammonim, the Ayin and the Mem can be interchanged. These are different locations, difference of opinion, exactly where they are, who they are. And he was, and the, all the point that we need is that he waged war against the Sizik and Shperch, who was granted him assistance, and he was successful. Pasuk Yudches, Vayitnu Ho Amoinim Mincha. So similarly, the Amoinim is the same as the ha-me'unim. We just interchange the letters, which is common to change the ayin and the mem. Mincha l'uziyahu. Once he conquered them, they brought him, they sent him tribute. Amincha l'uziyahu v'yelech shmo'al ad-levo Mitzrayim. And he was famous. His reputation spread all the way to Levo Mitzrayim, the coming of Egypt. That's like the main highway. Main highway of Egypt, he was successful. He took hold of his possessions ad lamola to a great extent. His reputation spread wide and far. Okay, let's take a look at some of the Rashi's over here. Back to the Mitzudas and Pasik Dalid. Vayas Hayashar, but let's go back to the Dibur Hamasal. We left one Dibur Hamasal in Pasuk Beis, the last Dibur Hamasal. Acher Yeshachav Melech Alamatzia Yoimar Ki Avshu Lochto Adayin Lohichsuk Lohichsuk Lohichsuk. We did already that his main success was he rebuilt the city of Eilos. Pasuk Dalit Vayas Hayashar B'Kolak Chobar Tzolam B'Dava Hayashar Asak Yaviv L'Bdava Mashalo Yosar Shlo Toiv Hasar. He did good in what his father did good, but he did not learn from his father's evil ways. Pasuk Hey, Vayihi Lidroish Elokim, Hoye Darkoi Lidroish Elokim. He was a religious person. He went to shul 3 times a day. He was a good man. And when was he good? During the days of Zechariahu. Who was Zechariahu? He was the Kohen Gadol, who was Doiresh. He was one who was Doiresh, Biros Hoelokim, Hoye Bal Bina. Zechariah was a person of understanding. Lahavin, to understand Niflaos, wonders. Bimaros Hanavua, visions of prophecy. Haba'a me Elokim, that come from Hashem. Ches Hamu'unim, Ho'amonim, Ulai Heim Hamu'unim. Pasuk Ches is a continuation of Pasuk Zayin. When it says that he was successful upon the people in Begur Baal and the Hamu'unim, and now it says they sent him a gift. Amonim sent him a gift. It means the Mu'unim sent him a gift. Ulahem Hamu'unim Shazochar v'hu hipuch, and the letters are interchanged. You change the mem and the ayin. Next, Vayelech Shemo, Pirsum Shemo Holach at Shabo El Mitzrayim. His reputation spread till Egypt. Alamola Rastama Godol Maod, he was extremely great. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Dalit. Vayasa Yosha bin Hashem Kohala Yosha Shosa Vivasa Vloyosa Kirishosai. He did the good, not the bad. Pasuk Hei means Zechariah Uziyahu. As Zechariahu is the same as Uziyahu, the Gimel Shemus Nikula Uziyahu, Zechariahu, and Azariahu, the Dugma, like we have Yehoyochos and Achaziahu, we have Achazion Yehoz, we have the king himself, the father of the present king of Uziyahu, also had multiple names. Hamevin Arashi says, what does it mean that Zechariah was Mevin Biroos Hulakim? So this is very interesting. He says, Shehavin biyiras Elokim shetoivahi v'nisyoi mehashem. That's fascinating. It doesn't say that. That's ikuchasim in ha-sefer. Rashi is saying that what he understood from biros, biros means visions. He's like a play on the word. Rashi is saying that the word biros Elokim means yiras Elokim. I don't know how we go from ri'iya to yira. It's related. Behar Hashem Yeroeh.
The Rabbaz said that actually it was a different girsa.
Oh, really? I don't care. The Rabbaz is a different girsa? I thought I looked at the Rabbaz. Let me give me 1 second. Pasuk, this is Pasuk. What Pasuk is this? Perik Chavav. Pasuk Hey. Can't cost the kisvayat.
Well, and
he has the gears of the yira. The fus napule. Vchentagim hamtagim the melef b'dechelta de Hashem b'dechelta Hashem v'chein near shoyegores Rashi. So it's different gears. So b'mei hamev b'yiras b'yiras. The gears is b'yiras to fear Hashem. B'dechela means to fear, so it's not b'maros. Fascinating. So there's machlokes what the gears is. So that's why the Mitsudo says what he says, and the Ralbag had a different gears of yiras Elokim. Very, very good. Okay, Ashukoyach. Okay, so we have over here he was a tzaddik during the time of Zechariahu, who went in Biyiras Elokim. Let's go to the next Rashi. That concludes. Let's go further in the Pesukim. What was his next accomplishment? Pasuk test. Vayiven Uziyahu Migdolim Birushlam. He built towers. He built a military fortress. He invented, it appears, and we're going to see now that he invented different types of arms, of weapons that did not exist in previous times. These are names of gates. We learned yesterday that when Yoash conquered Yerushalayim, he knocked down the wall, the Shar HaPina, to the Shar Ephraim. So we see that this gate appears once again, Al Shar HaPina, the Al Shar HaGai, the Al HaMiktsoa. Miktsoa means the corner. Miktsoa means the corner. There was some part of the wall that was called the corner. He built upon these different sections towers, fortress. A fortress where guards would stand and look out to protect the city. Vayichaskem, and he strengthened these gates. Pasuk Yud, vayiven migdolim b'midbar. He also built towers in the desert. What were the purpose of these towers? I'm not exactly what Rashi over here says. Okay, we'll see in a moment. Vayachsov, he built towers in the desert. Vayachsov, boiros rabim, and he hewed pits for water. Why? We'll see in a moment. Because he needed water. Why did he need water? Because he had assets, nikneh, and sheep need water. So he dug, he hewed cisterns to provide for them water. And he also had not only in the Midbar, he had Uvashvel, the lowlands, Uvamisha, the plains, different types of lands. Ikarim, he hired farmers, the Chormim, people to tend his vineyards. The Harim in the mountains, Uva Carmel. Carmel means a valley that is very rich in fruit. A valley that has a lot to offer, a very, very productive valley. That's Shamein. Ki Oyev Adama Hoyo, he loved the land. He loved to work the land. Now this is not a Mila. This already is a Chasaron, that he was Isaac in things of vanity, in Gashmias. He loved real estate. I love to have property and to develop, to do construction and to develop the land. Let's see the Mitzudos. Pasik Tes, Vayichaskein. He built for himself all of these towers. B'chol Pam, Chizik, Estamigdol, Mohem. Vayichaskein, he continuously strengthened these towers. Pasik Yud, Vayichatzeh, Bairos. Ha'choyve, B'mokam, Avonim, Kar, Choytzev. To hew, the word Choytzev refers to where there's stone. B'loshon, Mikra, Ki Mikne, Rav, V'choyetzach, L'bairos, Rabim, L'hashkos, Ha'mikne. He needed a lot of water for his cattle. V'ashvelo, V'mishra, Mehem, Royim, B'shvelo, Mehem, B'mishra. Some of his cattle would graze on the lowlands, and some would graze b'mishar on the plains, which is not low, it's just flat open land somewhere in the middle. It's not the mountain. Mishar is in between. It's the middle. It's not the mountains and it's not the lowlands. Ki oyev what?
Plains.
For plants?
The plains.
Okay, plain. Ki oyev adama, he loved land. Oyev hoyolasek bavodes adama. Okay, Rashi pasuk tesva even the uzio migdolim hutzrach lechazek masha partsu bechoyma beis aviv. The reason why he built these towers was because Yoash knocked down the wall. Yoash caused great damage in the war between him and his father, so he needed to make repairs. He hired ikarim, farmers. Okay, that's a French word for a farmer. The charmim, people to tend the vineyards. Dugma lecharmim uliyogvim shemer behemos hayulo, people to guard. That is another possibility, but there it's people to take care of the vineyard. Liyogvim, people take care of his vats. It's different possibility, the different words, and people to guard his animals.
I think the word acre.
That's the French word.
Acre. No.
Oh, acre, yeah.
To measure land.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me if it derived from
the acre. Acre is a very popular word. It means a farmer. So okay. He loved land. Here he quotes a medrash, which I have a different version of in my sefer that has Bejosh Maluk. He quotes in Rashi. Bebereishis Rabba, it says, Beis luchutim achre adama hayu, v'leinim sabam tos. Oh, no. So he doesn't say that. He says, Hu v'kayin. Look what it says here. You're right. That's the question. Why? Rashi is quoting a different medrash. But it says, Rashi quotes a bereishis Rabba, that says bays. There are only two people. Yeah. Lohutim. Lohutim is not a nice word.
Yeah.
Lohut, it means you're addicted. What? Lusting. It means it's too much. It's overdone.
Also, lehotehem.
The magic. It's an addiction. It's something which is unhealthy. They need therapy. They need a good psychologist to break the habit. Lahud, it means ancient word for addiction. Lahud achar adama hayu, they were obsessed after our land. And it was for no benefit. Their desire did not yield any benefit for the world, not for them and not for the world. Who were these two people? Who? And Uziyahu and Cain. Cain was Ishu Adama. It says in the pasuk that he was Oyved. He was an Oyved Adama. Oved means he was to work, but has a bad connotation. He was a slave to the land. He was addicted. That he loved to work the land and to develop land, to farm and to plant. For what purpose? What are you going to take it with you? Achamev Eshrim? It's not going to serve you. Be Oisik better in spiritual matters. Now the Medrash, now he's quoting here Bereit Shraba, but there's another Medrash, the one that I have over here in my Sefer Parashat Lamed Vav, that has a different girsa. Shaloisha Hayu Luhutim. There were three people that were obsessed with the earth. Kayin, like we said, Noach, as Reb Michal said, you're on the mark. And Uziyahu, Kayin. What, Kayin?
Noach.
Noach, Ish. It says Ish Hoadama. It says Ish. So I'm quoting the Medrash. The Medrash says Gimel Hayu Luhutim. Gimel were Luhutim. It says Ish Hoadama. And Uziyahu, it says Owe. Now it's very interesting. The expression is different. Kayin is Oved Hoadama. Noach is Ish Hoadama, and Uziyah is Ohev Es Hoadama. So interesting, three different, you want to go and give a drush about a psychology, there are three types of addictions. There is the Oved, there is the Ish, and there is the Ohev. Although it's not a joke, I'm sure if he's Ritursky, very interesting. What would he say? Send him an email. What would he say to explain this idea? The three different terms to define in medical science, any such concept today recognized three different approaches, three different types of addictions, which requires three different types of therapy to break the habit. It's a very interesting observation. Three different terms used for their addiction. Now, the Mefarshim say, why is the Pasuk telling us this? Pasuk is telling us he was Oyev Adama because this led to his downfall. This led to all three of them led to a problem, what he's about to do. Let me read you the Satan Chuma. Let me actually read you what it says in the word for word in the Chuma, because it's very interesting. But basically, we're going to have in a few Pasukim from now that Uziyahu made the mistake of his life. He said to himself, he's going to offer Kitoires. He said, I'm the king. And it's proper that the king should offer ketores in the Beis Hamidash. Who's allowed to offer ketores? Only a kohen. The Hazar HaKarev Yumas. You have no right. He did not listen. The kohen Gadol, whose name was also, who's Azar Yahu, he doesn't say all details here in Sefer Divrei Hayom. It's a little bit more complete in Sefer Melachim. He came to him with 80 soldiers. He took 80 of the top soldiers, and he tried to prevent the king from offering Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash, but to no avail. He did it, and the moment that he did it, there was an earthquake. On that very moment when he offered Ketores, there was a massive earthquake in Eretz Yisrael, specifically in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was a sign that Hashem was not happy. There was a breach in the division of powers.
Very Korach-like.
Correct. There was a breach that, exactly like Korach, like you're coming to Kol Am Kulam Kadosh Musach Hashem Umwa'adua Tis Nasu Al Kahal Hashem. You're trying to break down authority. You're not the authority in the Beis HaMikdash. It belongs to the Kohen Gadol. And it was viewed as a very great Yerida in the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael when this happened. Who was present on that day? Yeshaya. And Yeshaya refers to his prophecy. This event, the Rash, this earthquake, was as mentioned, I don't remember all the details, every so often in Sefer Yeshaya and other prophets, on the day of the earthquake. Yeshaya had a vision on that moment, describing the Churban Beis HaMikdash, And Yeshaya, we know much of Yeshaya, even though Chazal say it's cool in the Chemta, but in the beginning of Yeshaya is gloom and doom, and he predicts terrible things because of this breakdown in society where it was tolerated that the king can go and do what the Kohen Gadol was meant to do. Now let me read you the words of the Tanhuma, which shed some light. And the reason why I mention this is because Chazal said, well, how did he stoop so low? How did it come to this? Because he was obsessed with Gashmias. Since he was Ohev Ho'adama, he was obsessed with Gashmias that clouded his vision, his understanding, and that caused him to sin in matters of Ruchnias by doing things he should not do. And the same is true for Noach, and the same is true for Cain. Noach Ish Ho'adama. Noach went and he planted a vineyard, and Chazal are very critical. He should not have planted the vineyard. The reason why he came that, he was uncovered, and he cursed Canaan. And the whole story happened was because he was too involved with matters of Gashmias. When he came out of the Teva, he should have been Isaac in matters of Ruchnias. Instead, Vayochel Noach Ish Ho'adama. Noach became an Ish Ho'adama. He was obsessed with the earth, and he planted a vineyard, and was Isaac in Gashmias, and that caused him to make mistakes. He became intoxicated, and then his children saw what happened, and one of his children did a terrible Maisa, and that's why he came, and when he woke, he cursed him. And that changed the world. The whole world changed. If Noach would have had more children, it would have been a different world. Had Noach not cursed Canaan, then...
we wouldn't have a bomb.
We would have a different world. It's all because of the obsession with
one.
The Ish, not one, it's Ish Ho'adama, the obsession with the earth. The obsession with Ho'adama. Noach, the same problem. Why did the Mabul come? The same reason. Because people in Noach's time were obsessed with the earth, with Gashmias. When they're obsessed with Gashmias, then Vatishochei Saaretz. And Hashem says, Kate's called Bosa Bolafonai. If people were more obsessed with the Ruchnis, then the world would not have come to a state where it needed to be destroyed. So let's reread. Mahu ki oiva Adama hoyashay melech, he was a king. Vehikbe vehifgir atzmo lo Adama. So the Medrash Tanhuma used another word of lohut, which means he lusted, like you said, lusted after the earth. He has another very scary word, vehifgir atzmo. He was mafkir himself.
He abandoned himself.
He lost control. He lost the bilis of himself. Addiction to the earth. Av shahoya melech hisasek b'adam. Even though he was a king, it's beneath the dignity of the king to go out to the field and to farm. V'loy niskak l'torah. And it says, what was the harm in being lohot acha, being mafkir himself to the earth? He was not oisek in Torah. What happened? One day niskak lebeis havad. One day he decided he's going to go to the Beis Medrash. The Beis Havad was the Beis Medrash. Amalohem, he said to the Talmidim, he walks into the Beis Medrash and he says, "Nu, what is the daf? What are you learning today?" Bameatem oiskim. Amru lo. We're reading the pasuk in Bamidbar, the Hazor HaKarev Yumos, that any Zor that comes into the Beis HaMikdash to do Avoda shall be put to death. That's what we're learning in the Sugya. They're learning with Sechta Yoma. Right? Learning with Sechta Yoma. Hazor HaKarev Yumos. Amal Ham Uziyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech. Hashem is the Melech. V'ani Melech. I'm also the king. No, I disagree with what it says in the Daf. No, it's fitting. L'melech L'shamish Pnei Melech. Isn't it proper that one king should serve another king? So therefore, I disagree with what it says. I'm going to offer Keteres in the Beis HaMikdash. Ulahakti lefanaf. So miyad, right away, even though it says, Hazara Karimas, miyad, vayavala hechel. So right away, he took the pan of Keteres, and he entered into the hechel. Miyad, vayavala hechel, Hashem lahakti, ala mizbach haketeres, vayavala achav azaryahu, hakoyin vimo, koyhanim lahashem, shmoyin b'nei choyal. And right away, Uziyahu, Azaryahu, the Kohen Gadol, brought with him 80 soldiers to prevent the king. It says Kohan, right? 80 Kohan, right? 80 Kohan, Hashem, B'nei Choyal. He's strong Kohanim. The Kula Mipirche, he could be all young, Vayamulo, Lo Lucha Uziyahu Lahakti Lahashem. Kila Kohanim B'nei Aaron, Ha Mukdashim Lahakti. Same in Amikdash Ki Mo'alta, leave. You have committed a crime. You have transgressed. He refused to leave. He offered a guitarist. And at that moment, there was an earthquake. And at that moment, Yeshaya saw the vision of the Churban. And at that moment, Saras broke forth on his forehead. And he was banished. he was exiled. They took him out because he was a danger. Tsaras is not just a spiritual sickness, it's a physical sickness. So that tsaras, it's contagious. People can die. So they took him out and they put on those suits they put on, those white suits?
Hazmat
suits.
And they hazardous material suits.
They took him out to the cemetery from all places, and they built for him a house in the cemetery, and he lived there until he died. Let's go back to the psukim. And all of that, why did all that happen? It all happened because he was oyev adama. Because his obsession with gashmius clouded his vision in ruchnius. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayihi Uzziyahu Chayil. Now, before we get to that section, we describe his success. He had an army. Oisei Milchama, Yoytzei Tzva. All different expressions. A Chayil is number one. Oisei Milchama is two. Yoytzei Tzva is three. Ligedud in battalions. Four different expressions representing his military might. B'mispar pikudasam, they were all appointed by the number of pikudasam, their set number. Biyad, who was the chief of staff, the joint, what's it called? The general?
Chairman of the joint chiefs.
Is like Malcolm Homeline. Joint chief of staff. I didn't think it was that funny, but okay. The mispar pikudasan, the yad, the one in charge was Yiel Hasoifer. He was the scribe. Umaaseyahu Hashoiter, the shoiter, the officer. These two people, one was in charge of the records, and one was in charge of the actual appointments. Al Yad, who was the assistant, Al Yad, the third person, Al Yad, Hananya, Misare HaMelech, the officer of the king. So there were three people. I don't know exactly how this works, but there were three people that together, there was a sefer, there was a shoiter, and then there was the Yad, there was the commissioner who oversaw them both, maybe. His name was Hananya. So all of these.
The CEO, the CFO, and the COO.
The COO?
Yeah.
What's the COO?
Chief Operating Officer.
Okay. Call Mispar Rasha Havais, Legibar Chayil, all the numbers. Now, what were the numbers? What was the entire military force after everything was said and done? So it gives us some very interesting details. Call Mispar Rasha Havais, all of them, the number of the heads of the family, Legibar Chayil, Alpayim, the heads of the family were 2,000 Vishesh Meos, Vial Yadam. Underneath the 2,600 was Chel, an army, Tzava, Chel Tzava, an army, Shalosh Meos Elef, 300,000, Vishivas Elef, 7,000, Chamesh Meos, and 500. 300, 7,000, and 500, Oisei Milchama, who did the war, went to war, Bechoya Choyel, with strong, with power. Power of strength, Lazar Halamelech, to assist the king Al-Hoyev against the enemy. Vayochen Lechem Uzziyahu L'chol Tzva. Now what they do here, we describe in detail some of the innovations. He spent a lot of money, part of defense, there's billions of dollars go to the budget to develop new technology.
Armaments.
Vayochen Lechem Uzziyahu L'chol Tzva, Maginim Shields. Urimachim Spears. V'choy Vo'im, Helmets. V'shir Yoinois, body armor. Ukishosos, bows and arrows. Ula avnech kiloim, and slingshots. Stones that were used, special later laser guided stones in their slingshots. Not the ordinary run of the mill. Not like David HaMelech. Now their stones were laser guided to hit the target. Lavne kiloim, stones for the slingshots. Vayas, now that was just the soldiers. Okay, they really dress nice in all of their uniforms and their equipment. What about satellites? What about all the different other high tech things that were needed? Computers. What's a computer called in Hebrew? A machashev?
Yeah.
A machashev. That's not what it means. He made it some type of technology that we're not familiar with. It sounds like a computer. Some type of things which actually thought, or that was designed with extensive calculations. Machashev es choyshev. Three words. I have no idea what this means. Chishvaynois, machashev es choyshev. three words describing calculations and who knows what. Lihios al hamigdolim, to stand by the towers that were positioned. It sounds like the Iron Dome, right? It can detect short-range missiles and right away know where to intercept. Lihios al hamigdolim v'yala pinos, to be positioned on top of the towers and the pinos, the corners of the wall. Liros bachitzim, to shoot down. Chitzim, to shoot arrows, uvavanim gedolos, and large stones, to shoot chitzim, arrows, and large stones, missiles. It's, if you would not know, you would say this was written in the 21st century, you would say they were
this computer.
Yeah, that's what you would say. Could you write this better in today's time? Three words of machshava. We have only one word for a computer, a machashev. Here there are three words. And it talks about these things on top of the towers that would shoot different types of missiles, small missiles, big missiles. It's amazing what it says here. Who knows if they had technology that we're not familiar with. All the countries, everyone wanted to buy into the technology. Like today, everyone is trying to get a piece of this technology. He did wondrous things. He did things that were wondrous to bring about his assistance. This technology was at his assistance in a wondrous way, ad ki chazok, until he strengthened himself to a very great degree. Now, what happened? Vayishman yeshurun vayivat. With success comes arrogance. This, unfortunately, is the cycle of Tanakh. And when he was strong, gova libo ad lahashris, to bring about his own destruction. He was so his own corruption. He was so successful that his success brought about his own destruction. What happened? Vayimal b'Hashem elokav, he transgressed. How did he transgress? Vayavol, we'll see the more. Vayimal is a meaning with the different opinions of what it means. Vayimal. Rashi here says shkaga. That's not what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says the middle means Mirma. Okay, we'll see that in a moment. But just keep in mind the word vayimal, which for right now we'll just translate very simply. He transgressed by Hashem Elokav, vayavo el heichal Hashem. Got to him. If I can be so successful, so I also I'll be in charge of the Ruchnius. That's always where you always find people. It gets to their head. They think they know everything. They were successful in this union, so they'll decide other matters. And those other matters they don't know nothing about. They know nothing about, or they don't belong there. He thought he was so successful in his military might, he'll be also successful in deciding and calling the shots in the Beis HaMikdash. And that was a mistake. He came to offer Keteres on the Mizbech. What happened? They stood by Uziyahu HaMelech. It's not your business to bring Keteres to Hashem. Believe, kimo alto, you have transgressed, you have committed transgression. It's not to you, not for you, lichavod, to take the honor. May Hashem Elokim, it's not your honor. You do not deserve the keser kohuna. This was the daf 2 days ago. There are three crowns: the keser kohuna, the keser torah, and the keser malchus. You have the keser malchus. The keser kohuna is to Aaron. How dare you come to the mizbeach hazav and offer ketores? It's not your kavod. It's not your place for kavod. What happened? Vayizaf Uziyahu. Uziyahu was angry. He was angry. He wanted to do this by force. Uviyadai mikteres, and in his hands was the mikteres, means the pan lehaktir, that he was planning to offer as keteres. Uvizapo imakoyhanim, and as he was angry, as his fury increased against the koyhanim, telling them, "Get out of my way! I'm going to do what I want." At that moment in time, Hashem showed that you're at a place. The Hatzaras Zorcha of the Mitzchol, suddenly leprosy burst forth on his forehead. The Mitzchol lifnei Akoyhanim beis Hashem, before the Koyhanim in the Beis Hashem Me'al, in the presence. Me'al over here means in front. Me'al means round. The Metzudah says be'omdo right in front l'mizbach haketores, vayifenei lov azaryoh koin haroish v'chol hakohanim v'hinehu, they turned to him and v'hinehu, behold, mitzoyra b'mitzcho, he had leprosy on his forehead, vayav hiluhu misham, right, that says the same word by Haman, vayav hilu, they were in a state of haste to bring, they hustled them to bring him to the king after his daughter died. Have exactly the same way. There must be some significance in this. Vayav hiluhu misham, because this was written. Think about it, this was written. Divrei Hayam was written after Megillas Esther, right? Divrei Hayam was written during already the Bayis Shin was already built, and Megillas Esther was written in between 52 years after the Korban after the Korban Bayis Rishon. So 70?
No, 50. The reign of Parah.
I don't remember, whatever it was. So 70, whatever. So it was written after. So obviously the word Vayafhilu was on their minds from the Megillah, and they're comparing to some degree. It's very frightening. They're comparing Haman, they're comparing Uzziah in this act of bringing Keteres to Haman. Vayafhiluhu misham v'gamhu nitchaf lotzeis. Hashem, he was nitchaf lotzeis. Now there's some verbosity which obviously has more than I know.
Yes,
nitchaf.
The same two words. Okay, so we got to check into this. There must be some very great significance. They're making a very direct comparison between Uzziyahu and Haman. V'gamhu nitchaf lotzeis ki nigo Hashem. Hashem had afflicted him. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos and Rashi. Pushed. Nil means to be pushed. He was rejected.
In
Pasuk Yitzchak it says what?
Zorcha,
b'mitzchay, zerach ishtay, zeres. Vashti had saras, right? Vashti was
a lot of
connection to the Megillah. Okay, we got to check into that. Okay, let's take a look at the Mitzudas very quickly. The Mitzudas here talks about going back to Pasuk, all of his technology. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. B'mispar Pikudasam, we describe his soldiers. He had many officers and soldiers according to the number of Pikudasam. B'mispar Minyanim, according to the number of the count. Hanimsar B'yad Yiel. Yiel was the person in charge of counting all of the soldiers. Al Yad Hananyahu, who hoya Moise B'yadam Hamispar, he was the one that delivered the number. L'giboy Choyel, Shal Giboy Choyel, V'al Yadam, Hanisinim B'yadam, Tachas Memshalom, under his authority. The Choyach Choyel, who Kofal Inyan, the word Koyach and Choyel are the same. They mean exactly the same thing. It's just an expression. B'milim shoynos. The yoyra al rava koyach, and in the repetition is just compounding the fact that they were extremely powerful, mighty soldiers, Navy SEALs. Yudalit liavne hakaloyim hakakelim hanitzrochim liavne kela, the kelim that were needed for. The Avnei Akel. So Avnei Akeloyim means that you're missing words in this pasuk. It means that he provided them with high-tech slingshots. Slingshots. Which use Avnei Kela, slingshots, which use stones. Cheshvoinois, Masei Umnois Habo Al Yidei Machshava. The Iun Rav, it was some type of craftsmanship which comes through great skill. Very precise calculations. The Iun Rav, Ulutoisvois Beyor, Omar, Machsheves Choshev. Rats Lemar, Hanase, Bimachsheves, Shel Hachoshev, who Harogel Bimachsheves, Hoinian, the person is accustomed to making calculations. Okay, just playing with the words, it just means that it was done with a lot of precision, a lot of Chochma, a lot of calculations. Lios Al Hamigdolim, Maisehu Umnoi Sahim, also Lusumam Al Hamigdolim, these objects that were made with precision were put on top of the towers in order to shoot a missile small and large. Liros Bohem Bechitzim Uvavonim, with to shoot arrows and stones. Ki hifli also dvar niflohim lihiyos nezabohem, through these wondrous things he was assisted, he was protected. Ad ki nischazek al yidehem, he was strengthened through these items. Pasuk tezayin ad lahashkes, and when he became successful he became corrupt. Ad ki nishchas liharshia, he became wicked. Ba'avur roiv gova halev, due to his arrogance brought about his downfall. He tried to bring Keteres, And the Kohen Gadol said to him, Lo lecha, lo hutar lecha lehakdir, ki mo'alta, ki foshata b'zeh, you have transgressed. Lo lecha kavod, what's the lemar? Lo kimo she tachshoiv ata, sheyehe lecha behaktara zeh kavod me Hashem. Don't think that by offering ketores, you're going to receive, it's going to be an honor, you're going to receive honor from Hashem. Ki lo kenu, if it's shaloi kalacha, you're not going to receive any reward. Pasuk Yotes, he was angry, vayizaf al shemichabo, he was angry that they had the chutzpah to tell him no, to protest. He already had in his hand the pan that he offered the keteres, at the moment when he got angry, when he lost his cool, what happened? Parucha hatzaras b'mitzcho. Ulufish hatzaras levonahi. Since saras is white, k'mashakosa avim b'heres levonah. If there is a spot, a b'heres, a spot that's white, l'zeomar loshon ziricha. That's why we use the word ziricha, the sprouting forth, but it has a connotation of a whiteness, of a brightness, a sprouting forth of something that's bright. Kimavik b'avur haloven, it is shiny, it breaks forth in light due to the whiteness. Okay, moal, they stood me'al from in the presence. The omdoi me'al ha-mizbeach, they stood from me'al, from above the mizbeach. I'm not sure what it means. Does that mean he wanted to bring the bring curse on the mizbeach achitzoin, and they were standing on the mizbeach? Or it means in the front of? Similarly, he wanted to bring the keteres on the mizbeach ha-zohov, where you normally bring keteres, and that would mean that they stood me'al means in the presence of the mizbeach. Vayav hi luhu, hotzi'u misham, bebeholo umihirus, they swiftly removed him. Nitchaf lotzeis me'atzmo, hoya nitchaf lotzeis me'har, kirosh ha-hashem nago uve'oynishba. So this is to his credit. It says, Nitchaf, he himself recognized his mistake, and he himself went willingly. He recognized that Hashem was not happy and he was being punished. Let's go into one more pasuk and let's read a few more psukim. Let's read, finish with the parak, and then we'll come back to Rashi. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayihi Uziyahu Hamelech Mitzorog Ad Yom Moso. He was a Mitzor until the day of his death. Vayesha Beis Hachof Shis. Yeah. And he lived in the home of the retirement home. Chavshi means you're free. What are you free from? You're free from work. So he was released from his position. He was a king. A king is busy, very busy. Now that he was released from his duties because he had saras, and he's a danger to society, he was released, so he made a retirement home, and it's called the Beis HaChavshis. Some learn that it means more. It's more powerful. It means that they put him in a cemetery. Because who are the people that are the ultimate free people? The dead. They're chavshim in hamitzvos. It's one thing to be free from work, but if you're free from work, you're not really free because you have to occupy yourself with mitzvos. So when you're free from mitzvos, then you're really free. So the Beis HaChavshis refers to the place of the dead. He was like he was dead. He was a mitzvah of three people the Chazal say are called dead in their lifetime. Mi she'ein lo banim, ani is chashev kemes, and a mitzvah. A mitzvah is chashev kemes. Asuma is a fourth one. That's a fourth one. There's a different Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas only lists three. But in Chalam, there's another Gemara that says Suma Chashev Kemes. Someone was blind. That's right. But that's not in the Gemara in Brachas. And the Gemara in Brachas says Gimel Chashev Kemes. An Oni, Mitzayra, and Misha Elay Bonim. Beis HaChavshis, Beis HaChavshis, Ratzolayim Ozav Hanagas Hamalucha, let's read the passage. Vayesha Beis HaChavshis, Mitzar, Ki Nigzar, Beis Hashem. Nigzar means he was cut off from the Beis Hashem. Now who took over his reign? His son. The Yoysam Binoy Al Beis HaMelech, Shefet Al Am Horetz. Yoysam, his son, he took control of the Shefet as Hamas, he took over control. The Yeser Divrei Uziyoh, HaRishonim HaChronim, the earlier and the later, before his sin, after his sin, B'Shas Maisa, in retrospect, Kosav Yeshayoh Ben Amoitz Hanavi. So here now, we learned about his father, and the time of his father, Amatsyohu, we learned about Amotz. You see the generation, the generations, who was the prophet during the time of Amatsyohu? It was Amotz, the father of Yeshaya. Now we're one generation ahead. Who is the prophet in the lifetime of the son of Amatsyohu? of Uziyahu. It is Yeshaya himself, the famous Yeshaya. He wrote a book called Yeshaya ben Amoz Hanavi. Where did he write this? We do not know. It does not appear much as not some little tell you that to say for Yeshaya, but some of the Farshim say that it's not Yeshaya. It's another book he wrote, which we do not have access to. It's been lost. That he was not even buried in the Ma'ora. The proper place for a king to be buried is in the cave. He was not buried in the cave because he was a tzimitzora. He was contaminated. He was a danger. They had to wear the hazmat uniforms to bury him. So they could not bury him in the actual cave. They buried him in a field. Asher l'malachim ki amru. They said, mitzorohu v'yimloch yosam b'no tachta. When he died, then his son officially became the king. Before he died, he was unofficially king. Now he was officially king. Let's see the mitzudos. Pasik chof aleph. He was in the base ha-chavshis. The base ha-chavshis. Ratzolayma ozav hanhagas ha-malucha. He abandoned the ha-malucha. V'hoya chavshi min ha-omol. From the work. U'chumash ha-omru. Rabbi Sein. U'chum le-vracha. Sh'amalchus la-avoid le-avdus. Yechashef. You think being a king. A king is the opposite of a slave. The complete opposite. A melech. The melech is in charge. The eved is a slave. It's pumfakert. The melech is the real slave. It's an oilam hafuch. It's an oilam hafuch. The real slave is the king because of the responsibility. The slave just does his job 9 to 5 and he's a free man. Doesn't have any dais. The king has to make sure his people have what to eat, what to do. So the malchus la'avdus yichashlef yiroyev he'amol due to the enormous workload. Ki nigzar, he was banished. Ki nichras nigzar means because he was banished. Melavot b'leis Hashem ba'avur atuma saraso leze ozav esanhagas hamalucha. He abandoned his kingdom. Al beis hamelach hoya memuna al beis hamelach. So his son took over. Liyo shayfei de mishpa to am tachas hamelach. Prince Charles. You're following the news. Okay. You didn't read the news?
No.
The Queen Elizabeth is giving over.
Really?
Yeah, the Malchus to him. She's giving it to him. Not yet to William. Not yet. They're not going to skip.
Slowly she's giving
65 years old. He's 65 years old.
67.
He's
65. Who? Prince Charles.
So
finally he's becoming the Melech. Okay, v'stei ha'kvura, v'loi b'ma'ara shel kvura samalachim, not in the cave, v'loi b'ma'ara shel kvura samalachim, not in the cave, but in the ma'ara, mitzaruhu, v'ein v'haroi imkein likbar b'ma'ara imam lachim, since he has saras, it's not proper with the kings.
But he's dead already, what difference does it make?
But kovayt, oh, I have a good word for you, for kovayt, you asked me yesterday that the difference between Ashkenaz and Svart, Ashkenaz says Hoidu after Baruch Shamar, and Svar says Hoidu before Baruch Shamar. But when it comes to Yehi Chavoid, we're all the same. When it comes to Kavoid, the pursuit of Kavod, it doesn't make a difference if you daven in the Sech Ashkenaz, you daven in the Sech Svar. Everyone is a Roidev Kavod.
Don't let anyone get ahead.
That's before Ashkenaz.
Very good, you're only going to get ahead, you're very good. So therefore, even though he's dead, legacy, people live their whole life just, so what's going to be with my legacy after I die? How am I going to be remembered in history? Ask all the presidents of the United States. They're all obsessed with this. They really relate to this. People who are in these positions of such incredible authority, they really are. They're really obsessed. The average man can't even be masik. They're not thinking about it. I once listened to Clinton, they interviewed Clinton. He was really obsessed with this. Like it's like I'm not living for now. I'm living for my legacy. What are they going to say about me in the elementary schools that have all the presidents on the wall? Even I had that. They had all the presidents.
Yeah, the two of them that really don't care.
It's usually only in the second term.
Jimmy
what?
Jimmy and Obama. They both don't care for legacy.
Jimmy Carter doesn't care for
the second term. First term you concentrated on having the second term. Second term you concentrated on your legacy.
So there's something to it. So where they're buried means something to them. And the fact was they were not buried. And that was a major statement in the world that they don't have a legacy. They're buried outside. Now, if you want to know more about their legacy, about their life, check it out. There's a book that was authored by Yeshaya Ben Amoz, bestseller list, Amazon.
New York Times.
It's sold out. It's so sold out, you don't even know it ever existed. He was good, he did good things, he did not follow his father's evil ways to avodah zarah. And he did not. Okay, so now let's see Rashi's, a few short Rashi's. Back to Pasik Tesvav. Okay, Pasik Tesvav, he made cheshbonos machasheves choshev. Three words to describe the new technology he introduced into his army. Masach, for example, masach choshev kol milchamos also beumnes kigoyin dik the elim hamenachim b'choyma kedusay. Refers to a
battering ram.
So what's dik? Elim of the rams. What's the dik? Dalad Yuka, I'm not sure what dick means. The Elim are the battering rams. They back and forth, they have to, maybe it means something of a ramp. A ramp, and the Elim, these battering rams made from very heavy metal, they would bang into the wall. Hamanakim, b'choymak, it'll siv, ki, bit, tachbulos, ta'sel, l'chom, l'chomah. With tachbulos, tachbulos means tricks. With different techniques, strategies, and he conducted his war with. So Rashi is learning not like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says he invented something, right? He made some type of object, some type of invention that he used. Here, the Mitzudah Rashi seems to be saying the Machshava is not so much on an object, it's on technique, strategy. He had fantastic strategies to be studied in all military schools. At Sev Kaladoros, that was the Chachma of Uziyahu.
The seal and mission of the Mossad, and everything is this pasuk, the Tachbelis Taselacham Ucham.
Yeah? It's on their seal. Fascinating. Kibit Tachbelis with strategy. That's very interesting. Okay. Vayimal Bahashem Elokav. He committed his arrogant scat to him, and he committed transgression. Now here Rashi says something interesting. So mi'ila in Chumash means a shoygek. You only bring a carbon asham if you do it b'shoygek. So here is kan noifa lashon mi'ila ki b'shkoga asa. So Rashi is saying they did it by accident. It was a mistake. He really never. He never meant to go so far. His mind was cloud. Dugma nefesh ki simul mal v'chata bishkaga. Now let me just jump to the Medrash. The Medrash says no. So Medrash b'midbar rabba parshaches. It says my mo'alta ein mi'ila b'chol mokam ella shikor. Shikor means sheker and mirma, falsehood and deceit. That's not shoygek. That has a connotation of more of benezit, that he did it on purpose. The Chenu Omer, it says,
this is gaiva. You fool yourself.
So the question is okay. So that's the question. So you fool. He got to him. So was it an accident? The gaiva got him to a degree where it was out of control. It was not my fault. Or do we say no? There is some element of bechir chavshus. So there are different ways.
Don't lie to me.
There are different ways to look at it. There are different
things that, you know, Shabbos, this halacha doesn't apply to me.
Okay, that's a big question. So we have here a very big disagreement. Rashi is citing a chazal that says that Mi'ila, he was a shoygeg. The Medrash very clearly is not so generous. The Medrash says that there was premeditated rebellion. It says it's Lashon Shikor, which means Sheker and Mirma. He quotes Tirim Sukim with the word in Chumash and Tanakh, and more often than not, it refers to a sin that's done b'mezit. It means rebellion.
Tsaras was Einish on
Gaiva. Tsaras, Chazal say, is...
But when you had Tsaras, you had to bring the Hashem, right?
Yeah, when you bring it, the very mitzvah is a carbon asham. Yeah,
right. So it was a punishment.
It's a punishment for gaiva. You allow yourself to reach a
shemadrega. Shabbos, until the kohen declares you in tzaraas,
you're not a mitzvah.
But he was
yes.
They told him.
Obviously, they did. Also, we have to another very big question. We have to know is there are two types of tsaras. There's physical tsaras, leper, we call leprosy, which is contagious and which has to be isolated, quarantined for health reasons, for danger to society. And there's this spiritual tsaras. So, what type of tsaras was he suffering from? Will he suffer from the spiritual tzaras or from the physical, or both? Very likely, of Shimon Schwab, he writes every time that tzaras, the spiritual tzaras, only comes after you have the physical, the leprosy. And is it him or someone else? I saw that he has a whole, he proves, he showed, I don't remember if it was him who said this, he showed in the psukim that that's the derech. Person first gets leprosy, go to a doctor, and there is the thing that in the world is considered to be a sakana, and he's quarantined because he's a sick person. And then, on top of that, can develop the ruchniyistik, a thing called tzaras, where a kohen now has to be brought, and has to also declare him to be a mitzora. And then, in addition to the refuah process, he's also going to need to bring the set of korbanos.
This is very, I have a shaila. It says that he had the tzaras on mitzvah, on his forehead.
Yeah.
So everyone, the kohanim also, these 80 big giant kohanim yell, tzaras, get out of here. And it says, "V'gamu nitcha v'tzketzki nigo Hashem," but he didn't see it. You can't see what's on your forehead.
Interesting.
They told him.
There's a mirror. Maybe look in the mirror.
They had the key on.
This is a tremendous way to get a guy. You a bunch of guys standing around a guy and he wants to do something. Somebody yells, Tzaras, and they move him right out of the place.
We don't know what Tzaras is. We really don't know what the Ruch is Tzaras. Obviously, it was a all these ruchniyistik things we have no concept of, but this is a different opinion of exactly what it means. Yimal Rashi is very goes easy. It was a shkaga. Next Rashi, what did he do? He said, "I'm going to bring korbanos." So Rashi says, when his hands was the pan, what's going on? He wanted to hit. He was using the pan as a weapon to hit the other kohanim. It's amazing. Here is the man that created, invented the ultimate weapon of mass destruction. And now, which weapon is he using to hit his fellow kohanim?
A frying pan.
There's something to it. There's something going on over here. With a pan.
We want a
kusa
on the women who come after the man
with the pan. Well, they say about Yol, Parash Meshach, what did she kill Sisha with? With a peg. Why don't you take a weapon? You couldn't take a weapon, take a gun. So some say she didn't want to. Didn't want to deceive him. He never. If she comes with a weapon, with a gun. She's no match for him. He was a warrior. She's holding the peg of the tent. She's going to fix the tent. He would never suspect. That's the simple approach. But some say it was because you're gonna laugh. It's because lo silbash isha. A gever ish. A woman is not allowed to wear the clothing of a man. A weapon is a levush. Yeah. So she would have been over on the silbash for a woman to hold a weapon. For when a woman takes a weapon, it's le silbash. Okay, it's a good kasha.
The Gemara, what does it say?
Shachab,
it says
they're
like
seven times. He had relations with her, seven times. Pikuach nefesh. All right, well, but I just they say this. So they say that's why she bedafka did not take a pick.
That's why Monroe, they don't let the women drive because it's
like
for
silvash. That's a stretch.
Williamsburg and Borough.
Because they say it's an issur of silvash.
They don't let the women drive because they
tznius.
No, that's not the job.
No,
that's
a matter.
It's a tznius. It's controlling them. They don't want to give them too much authority. It's a whole psychological warfare. All right, let's finish up over here. He built over himself. This will leave ready for later. So we'll leave the rest of the Rashi's for tomorrow. Okay, up to
the word beischof.
Yeah. What?
Beischof.
Yeah, but it's a long. I thought it was a whole page. Yeah, we. I'm sorry. Just a few more Rashi's. Beischof shes. Over Yushalmi mufurish asaba lo bayis beischakvaris. So it doesn't just mean a retirement home. It means a house in the cemetery, because the cemetery chavshim in a mitzvahs. Why? Al shem. Mufurish. Also, like ba'is the base hakvaros al shem b'meisim chavshi. Meisim are free. They're free from mitzvos. Ki nigzar lo milavo od bein habrios. He was no longer allowed to go among people, human beings, because he was contaminated. Dugma v'yas asher nigzar oleha.
So again, you have a pasuk from the Megillah.
Another pasuk, Gezer Nigzar, third pasuk, excellent, third pasuk, and that was, I told you, I mentioned, that was Vashti. What happened, Vashti? She had Saras, Parchat Sarato. So she was banished, she was a danger.
The whole thing,
we're comparing, there must be something very deep here. I'm going to take a look in the Mishpat Zav, maybe he'll have some connection between these two things. B'stei HaKvarois, V'loi B'maro Im HaMalachim, he was buried in a demeaning way, in a field, not in the cave. He was not buried with royal honor. Okay, there's more to discuss. We'll pick this up with Hashem tomorrow.
Dick. It means to pound.
A pound with Elam, okay.
Hadek,
okay. So they pounded with these machines.
Oh, look at this. Oh, two batteries ran.